deze mooie, stralende, vroege zondagmorgen heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Hoor eens, die vogel fluiten, hij zingt het hoogste lied. En dat gebeurt ook zo meteen in de Crystal Cathedral, als je gaat luisteren naar het koor van de Crystal Cathedral. Maar we hebben ook een fantastische spreker, dat is dominee John Maxwell. En in een serie van 4 gaat hij praten over dromen. Ik weet niet hoe je wakker bent geworden vanmorgen, dat je zei van geweldig, mooie nieuwe dag. Of deze dag wordt misschien wel een nachtmerrie. Nou, laat je dan helpen door een verhaal uit de Bijbel, door Jozef. Hij werd door zijn broers in een put gegooid en ze dachten die zit er lekker in en die komt er nooit meer uit. Hij kwam eruit en hij bracht het tot onderkoning van Egypte in zijn tijd. Je kunt het lezen in Genesis. En Jozef maakte zijn dromen waar. Geweldig verhaal. Erik Smithuis is de gast bij Hour of Power Nederland. En hij heeft een opleidingsinstituut in Utrecht. Zeer succesvol. Maakt ook zijn dromen waar en vertelt daarover. En hij heeft een aantal principes waaruit je kunt leven. En dan Michael Franzese, maffia. Man, tot en met. Hij leefde van geweld en afpersing. Totdat hij God leerde kennen. En hij zegt zometeen in de Crystal Cathedral dat God je beste vriend is. En wat kan ik meer zeggen dan dat? Geweldig dat we daar een uur lang bij stil mogen staan. Welkom bij Hour of Power. En fijn dat u en dat jij kijkt.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
The day that God has made. Hallelujah. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, Lord. It's a beautiful day because you opened our eyes and you've opened our minds as we step into your house, and we are receptive. We will be open to the ideas that come from Jesus. This truly is a glorious gift. Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh,
may be seated, is the cross the single most prominent symbol on planet Earth today? What made Jesus Christ the success that he was and is? Because when people read what he said and listen to his claims, they could not argue with him. No one can debate with Jesus and win. Hear what he said. I am the light of the world. All who follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the bread of life. All who come to me shall never hunger, and all who believe in me shall never thirst. I am the door. If they enter by me, they will be saved. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the resurrection and the life. All who believe in me, though they may die, they shall live. May God bless these words spoken by Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, choir. He was once the target of multiple city, state, and federal law enforcement agencies. His name was targeted for assassination by the mob. Tom Brokaw called him the Prince of the Mafia. He was the Mafia's youngest and most financially powerful new superstar. The son of legendary Colombo family underboss, John Sonny Franzese. His criminal empire earned $6 to $8 million a week, making him one of the biggest money earners for organized crime since Al Capone. That was then. Today he is a new person in Christ. And he's using his life lessons to help others. Michael Franzese.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Sherman. Thank you.
Well, what was your life like 30 years ago?
Well, certainly a lot different than it is today. You know, I grew up in that life. My dad was the underboss of the Colombo crime family, and about 30 years ago, it was about 2 years after I became a member and was inducted myself. So I was, hardcore, Dr. Shuler, and fully entrenched in the mob life.
And they inducted you. How do they do that?
There's a very solemn ceremony that takes place. For me, it was on Halloween night, 1975. It was myself and five other gentlemen. We went into a room. It was late at night, and the hierarchy of the family, the boss was there, and all of the captains, capo regimes. And I entered the room, and the boss was seated at the head of like a horseshoe configuration. All the captains were alongside of him. I went in front of the boss, held out my hand. He took a knife, cut my finger. Some blood dropped on the floor. And then I cupped my hands, and he took a picture of a saint, the Catholic altar card, put it on my hands, and lit it aflame. And it didn't hurt. It burned quickly. It was merely symbolic. And he said, tonight, Michael Franzese, you are being born again into a new life, into La Cosa Nostra. And if you violate what you know about this life or betray the family, then you're going to die and burn in hell like the saint is burning in your hands.
Well, what was life like for you? You became a member of the family. What was it like?
You know, it was, Dr. Shuler, I got to admit, I mean, I lived every day of my life in violation of the laws of God and the laws of man. I mean, you're in that life. It's a criminal lifestyle. You have a whole different mindset. You kind of justify the things that you were doing, because I grew up in that, and it's what I saw my dad do before me. And it was a very difficult life. I mean, you're always worried about law enforcement on one end and your own people on the other. And I became a major target of law enforcement. Was actually indicted and went to trial 5 times in my life. Rudy Giuliani indicted me on a big case back in 85, and I was fortunately acquitted. I wouldn't be here today. He told me in the courtroom, if I convict you, you're going to get 100 years on this case. And I was acquitted after a lengthy trial. And, it's a very treacherous life. And it's if you survive that life and die of old age and die free, you've really accomplished something.
Wow. Well, what did you do day to day, week to week, to carry out the crimes?
Well, you know, I was in business, and I was in some of the traditional gambling businesses and loan sharking and things like that. But I had a lot of legitimate business, too. I knew how to use that life to benefit me in business. Went on to make a lot of money. And in that life, if you make money, it translates to power. So I became they were slating me to be the next boss of the family. And that was my life kind of every day. You know, I was very much involved. I had a number of soldiers underneath me, and it was just a lot of work. I worked 18 hours a day in that life. But, you know, something happened among many things that I was doing. I was producing films back in the mid-80s, and it was on a film set that my life kind of changed, and God kind of called out to me.
What happened to change you from that hell of a life to what is a true Christian life today? How do you get from that to this?
Well, it's only through God's power. I was producing a movie, and we were producing it in South Florida, and we brought 50 dancers in from L.A., and one young dancer from Anaheim, actually, was dancing on the set, and I saw her by the pool one day, and It was like a Pepsi commercial. Everything went in slow motion for me when I saw her get out of the pool. And as it turns out, she was a young Christian girl, and God certainly used her to introduce me to Christ and change my life.
What's the difference in your life since you accepted Christ?
You know, it wasn't only accepting. I accepted Christ early on, but never surrendered to him. And I ended up doing 8 years in prison, and in the last 3 years, they had me in solitary. I was in the hole. And it was during that time that I surrendered to Jesus and really understood what that meant, turned my life over to him. And when I got out of jail, he just kind of took me by the hand and led me on the course that I'm on now. And I've just become, I firmly believe in him. He's saved my life. He's protected me. And everybody predicted my death, everybody from Giuliani on down. And I believe God had a different plan and purpose for me.
You could have been assassinated.
Well, there's been a contract on my life, and, you know, like I said, I don't worry myself about it now because I think God had different plans for me. You know, I realize every day how blessed I am. My dad is 92 years old. He just got out of prison on Christmas Eve.
92?
92.
How long was he in prison?
33 years he spent in there. And sadly enough, he's under indictment again because he's still involved in that life, and my brother is actually in trouble and in that life, and I get reminded every day of just how blessed I am to be away from that and to be free and to be able to enjoy my family and do what I'm doing now. So I'm reminded every day. And I was very, very motivated and impressed by Solomon in Proverbs when I was in prison, and I tried to work my life around Solomon's Proverbs. And it's really a contrast of how I did business the old way and how I live my life and how I try to do business and live my life today.
Wow. Well, you've got a great audience around the world, in Russia, China, and, gosh, millions of people. And they're listening to you. You've been on the other side, the bad side, the criminal side, the mob. And you got out and you're still alive, which is a miracle.
Yes.
And look at those people. If you have one or two things to say to them, I would like to hear you say, let me tell you something.
Let me tell you this, no matter, for those people out there, and everybody's struggling with something, and I always tell people, no matter how far you think you've fallen away from the Lord, no matter how bad you think your life was and how unworthy you might be, that the ground at the foot of the cross certainly is level, and if God can save and use somebody like me, then there's certainly hope for anyone out there. And I encourage everybody, just make Jesus your best friend, and you got it made.
That's great. That's great. Thank you. We have the book at our bookstore. You can order it by calling us here. I'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now it's my joy to welcome for the first time to the Crystal Cathedral, Marie Barlow Martin. Marie has sung around the world, receiving accolades from Scotland to Japan, California to New York, everywhere in between. Her love for Jesus shines through her eyes and her voice. Let's give her a warm welcome as she comes to sing How Great Thou Art.
Then sing.
So much.
Mary Barlow Martin zong terwijl de vogels hier fluiten op haar unieke manier How Great Thou Art. Dat is bekend in Nederland als Hoe Groot Zijt Gij. Prachtig lied. De Meshulah zegt altijd, en 25 jaar geleden hoorde ik dat voor het eerst. If you can dream it, you can do it. Dat staat ook in de kerk. Als je in je dromen gelooft, dan kun je ze ook waarmaken. Dat is een Bijbels principe. En Erik Smithuis, ik ken hem al 8 jaar, heeft dat waargemaakt. Erik, jouw droom was dat je afgestudeerd was bij de Erasmus en voor een paar grote bedrijven hebt gewerkt, waar we allemaal producten van gebruiken, dus ik mag geen reclame maken, om je eigen bedrijf te beginnen.
Ja, en mede door Hour of Power en de inspiratie die we daar hebben mogen ontvangen, is het inmiddels tot een groot bedrijf ontwikkeld. En kan ik alleen maar bevestigen wat je zegt.
Ja. Waarom ging je naar Hour of Power kijken? Want in die tijd was je een jaar of 30.
Nou, ik zat eigenlijk op een punt dat in mijn leven een aantal dingen niet lekker liepen. Relationeel vlak, werkvlak. Eigenlijk had ik de midlife crisis gewoon 10 jaar wat eerder. En toen op zondagochtend zette ik tv aan. En ik werd geraakt door Hour of Power. En vooral door het denken in mogelijkheden, door de inspiratie. En vanaf dat moment ben ik samen met een hele goede vriend, Harry-Peter Roes, ben ik ICM begonnen. En dat is tot inmiddels uitgegroeid tot een heel mooi bedrijf.
Ja. Ja, een groot instituut op het gebied van opleidingen, communicatie. Daar wil ik het eigenlijk niet over hebben, maar over jouzelf. Je zei, ik ben toevallig naar Hour of Power gaan kijken. Had dat een reden?
Nou, ik heb van oorsprong ben ik katholiek opgevoed. Dus iedere zondag naar de kerk met mijn vader en moeder. En dat ben ik ze heel dankbaar voor. Het was op een hele prettige, vrije manier in Brabant. Dus eerst de kerk en dan gezelligheid. En toen daarna vanaf mijn 18e veel gaan sporten. Fanatiek gehockeyd en getennis. Nou, er was geen plaats op zondag meer voor de kerk. En uiteindelijk ga je dan zoeken. En zeker als je net werkt. Ja, dan is de vraag op een gegeven moment van, wat is het nou? En vanaf ik heb bedrijfseconomie diploma behaald. Maar ik heb psychologie en communicatie bestudeerd. Maar vanaf mijn 26e ben ik allerlei boeken gaan lezen. En uiteindelijk ook in geloof gaan verdiepen. En Hour of Power is ja, gewoon een formaat wat heel erg goed aansluit bij de manier waarop ik met geloof wil omgaan.
Ja. Je hebt vanuit je geloof 10 vuistregels ontwikkeld voor geloof en succes. Misschien kun je ze alle 10 opnoemen, maar een paar is ook goed.
Nou, ik zal er 3 noemen die voor mij heel essentieel zijn. En de eerste is, geloof is essentieel voor succes, in ieder geval voor mij. En je ziet het ook bij alle wereldleiders. Je ziet Obama, waar iedereen mee wegloopt, man van een zeer sterk geloof. Dus geloof is essentieel voor succes. Tweede is, en dat is voor mij ook een heel belangrijk principe, wat je geeft ontvang je terug. Dus als je in overvloed durft te denken en durft te geven, dan ontstaan er schitterende dingen. Eerst geven en dan ontvangen. En de derde is, ja, je bent nooit alleen. Dus je wordt altijd geleid. God is bij je en is je bondgenoot. En als je dat samen neemt, ja, dan if you can dream it, you can do it.
Ja.
Ja.
Je tweede principe was, dat sprak me wel aan, eerst geven om vervolgens te ontvangen. Maar geef jij dan om te ontvangen of geef je om echt te geven?
Je geeft om te geven. Want als je gaat zeggen van ik geef jou iets en ik wil er wat voor terug, dan is het geen geven. Dan is het een berekening. Ja, en hoe doe je dat? Er kan in heel veel zitten. Aandacht, een kaartje, een positieve opmerking. Wat ik heel prettig vind is als, je hebt 2 type mensen, zeg maar zeggen. Je kan je, als je de ander ontmoet, beter voelen na het gesprek of minder goed. Nou, ik bedoel, Jezus Christus die was vooral op de mensen gericht. En dan kwam het resultaat vanzelf. En ja, 2000 jaar later praat men nog over hem.
Ja. Je wilt wat voor talentvolle young professionals doen. Daar heb je een non-profit stichting voor opgericht.
Ja.
Dat is ontzettend leuk.
Ja. Nou, ook vanuit het idee ontstaan, toen ik zelf die leeftijd had, dacht ik van ja. Je doet een studie, bedrijfseconomie, Erasmus Universiteit, maar vervolgens weet je nog niks over het echte leven. En toen dacht ik van nou, jongeren tegenwoordig, tussen de 20 en 30, zijn nog meer op zoek naar wat kan ik, wie ben ik, wat wil ik. En ik dacht, ja, laat ik dat faciliteren. Dus ik geef lezingen, seminars, ik organiseer sprekers. En ja, dat is een groot succes. Het heet For Young People. En daar zit nog heel veel potentie in. En vooral het talent ontwikkelen. Want je kunt talenten hebben, maar als je ze niet ontwikkelt, ja, dan neem je ze mee.
Ja.
En dat is de eigen gedachte achter For Young People. Ja.
Als ik zo naar je luister, moet ik even denken aan dat Bijbelse verhaal in Matteüs staat. Een ondernemer die gaat voor lange tijd op reis en die geeft 3 van zijn medewerkers het talent. Het talent was in die tijd een hoop geld. En de een gaf hij de 5, de ander 2 en de volgende 1. 2 maakten er meer talenten van en 1 begroef het in de grond en die deed er niks mee. Wat heb jij het gevoel dat jij met je talenten hebt gedaan, die je gekregen hebt?
Nou, ik ben gezegend met veel talent.
Dat klinkt arrogant.
Nee, dat klinkt bewust voor mij.
Of heb je dat van God gekregen?
Ja, ik denk niet dat ik het zelf mee heb gekregen. Ik stond niet bij de supermarkt om ze uit te zoeken. Het is me meegegeven. Ja. En volgens mij hoort bij talent gewoon verantwoordelijkheid. Ja. En daar kun je heel lang en breed over praten. En voor mij is dat op het gebied waar ik nu zit, daar voel ik me erg thuis.
Ja. Maar het lijkt me ook heerlijk om mensen verder te helpen in hun carrière, in hun ontwikkeling. Om te zien, dat draagt vrucht.
Je kunt mensen beter een goed idee geven of een enthousiaste aanmoediging dan 100.000 euro.
Ik maak even gebruik van de gelegenheid dat je hier zit. Wat is jouw aanrader voor Hour of Power, voor mezelf?
Om vooral door te gaan met wat je doet. Omdat Hour of Power in Nederland steeds groter wordt.
Ja.
Steeds meer mensen worden geïnspireerd. Daar hebben we waarschijnlijk vaak geen weet van. Iedereen zit thuis zelf zondagochtend in zijn eigen manier te kijken. Maar ondertussen zijn er gewoon heel veel mensen die er kracht aan ontlenen. En dat is wat we nodig hebben. En wat mijn wens is dat ook steeds meer jonge mensen die absoluut behoefte hebben aan een stuk verdieping in hun leven, naar Hour of Power kijken. Ook er even doorheen kijken. Ik zeg wel eens, je hebt 3, 4, 5 keer nodig om eraan te wennen. Hè, want kerk heeft voor sommige mensen een negatieve connotatie. Maar steeds meer mensen gaan kijken, ja, daar heb ik er al vertrouwen in dat steeds meer goeds gaat plaatsvinden. En dat mensen eigenlijk hun bestemming vinden. En dat is volgens mij waar het om gaat.
Ja. Heel leuk, je bent een van onze jongere Corporate Eagles. Dat is een club van mensen die dicht om Hour of Power heen staan. We hebben regelmatig bijeenkomsten en daar ben je altijd inspirerend aanwezig. Jij had het over de 10 regels die je hebt bedacht voor succes en geluk vanuit je geloof. We gaan nu beginnen zometeen met dominee John Maxwell, een van de bekendste Amerikaanse predikanten. Hij heeft een boek geschreven, Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden? Nou, dat is voor jou al gebeurd. 10 vragen die je helpen om die droom te zien en te realiseren. Jij bent de eerste die dit boek krijgt. Het is een fantastische prekenserie. Je moet ze zien. 4 geweldige inspirerende toespraken over Jozef. En daar ga ik onze kijkers wat over vertellen. Heel, heel fijn dat je er was.
Dank je.
En jouw kleine kind, die hebben 2, hè? Joshua.
2 fantastische zonen, Joshua en Finn.
Die zitten ook 's morgens bij de tv al, of nog niet?
Jawel, dan zien ze Power Power, zeggen ze.
Hè?
Ze zeggen Power Power als ze de openingstune. En als jij in beeld komt, zeggen ze Jan Jan.
Leuk, hè? Ja, heel fijn dat je er was.
Dank je.
En, John Maxwell, een begenadigde spreker. En u en jij zullen in de komende weken genieten van zijn toespraken naar aanleiding van het leven van een bekende Bijbelse figuur, Jozef. En wat is het niet geweldig dat we elke week 2 uur lang Out of Power kunnen uitzenden. Nou, van Erik gehoord, ik ben er ook zelf super blij mee. En we zenden elke week uit via de commerciële zender RTL. En dat kan dankzij uw bijdrage. En als u hebt gedacht, nou ik vind het fijn, ik kijk naar Out of Power, maar ik zou toch ook wel wat meer willen doen, dan doe ik een beroep op u. En dat gaan we in de komende 4 weken doen, om meer donateurs te winnen voor Hour of Power. Uw en jouw Hour of Power.
Elke zondag spreekt Hour of Power weer vele duizenden kijkers aan met een positieve en inspirerende boodschap. Dit kunnen we alleen doen dankzij de donateurs die ons trouw steunen. Jezus zei, de oogst is groot, maar arbeiders zijn er weinig. Hour of Power vindt het belangrijk dat Gods liefde wordt verkondigd. Daarom hebben wij voor u wekelijks een inspirerende spreker. Zonder arbeiders geen oogst, zonder donateurs geen uitzending. Voelt u zich thuis bij Hour of Power en wilt u dat Hour of Power iedere week op de televisie te zien blijft? Zou u dan ook donateur willen worden? Wij verwelkomen u graag in onze kring. Al met een klein bedrag per maand levert u een structurele bijdrage aan onze missie. Als welkomstgeschenk sturen wij u de DVD-box Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden? Deze gloednieuwe DVD-box bevat 4 preken van John Maxwell vanuit de Crystal Cathedral over het thema dromen. Donateur worden kan via www.hourofpower.nl of vraag informatie aan via 035 538 0588. Alvast hartelijk dank. Ook het nieuwe boek van John Maxwell, Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden, kan vanaf nu besteld worden bij Hour of Power.
We zijn blij als u ons wilt helpen. Wij gaan weer terug naar de Crystal Cathedral, het orkest van de Crystal Cathedral, met heel veel professionele amateurs. U weet, het is een vrijwilligersorganisatie. Ze zitten klaar om een prachtig opgewekt en blij lied te spelen, de Navy Hymn. We'll be right back.
Each year, John speaks to Fortune 500 companies, international government leaders, the NFL, ambassadors at the United Nations, and churches around the country. He was here a few months ago and agreed to come back, and I asked him if he could deliver 4 sermons that we could air on global television. And he agreed. So the message series that he's on is The Dream Journey of Joseph, based on his new book, Put Your Dream to the Test. Let's give a warm Crystal Cathedral welcome to somebody very special to me and to you, John Maxwell.
Good morning. What a delight to be here with you. I was in Washington, D.C. recently with some top-level executives, and I asked them 2 questions. Question number 1 is, do you have a dream? 100%, as you would imagine, with this level of people, said, yes, I have a dream. And then I asked them the question, have you achieved your dream? 75% said, no, I have not yet achieved or accomplished that dream. For the last several years, I've wanted to write a book on helping people achieve their dreams because I believe you have one. How many of you in your lifetime have had a dream? Could I see your hands? We all have dreams. And yet many of us never achieve it. And so over the last several years, I've wanted to write a book that would help a person achieve their dream. And to be honest with you, I've been frustrated a couple of times in the attempts because I thought that the book was a little huffy and puffy. Didn't have substance. It wasn't solid. So recently, as I began my attempt for the book now that has just been released, Put Your Dream to the Test, I came to realize that the more valid reasons you have to accomplish your dream, the higher the odds are that you will. If you only have one reason to accomplish your dream, it's very possible that life will kind of get tough on you during the journey and you'll kind of back away from it. But if you and I have several valid reasons to achieve our dream, the odds are that we will. And that's from my book, Put Your Dream to the Test. And I would like to now go to Joseph, the greatest dreamer in the Bible. And I would like us to see how he put his dream to the test, just as you and I can, in his dream journey to go from a believer in the dream to a buyer of the dream. For you see, one of the 10 questions in my book is the ownership question. Is your dream really your dream? So let's look at it, and let's look at the life of Joseph, and let us watch him show us how to go from a believer to a buyer of our dream. Point number 1. Don't let others talk you into your dream. We've had that happen, haven't we? We've had somebody else, maybe a family member, a very close friend, who wanted to see us be something or do something, and all of a sudden we kind of bought into their dream, not our dream, and so now we are beginning to pursue a dream that is not ours. I know that for a fact. When I was young and just getting into first grade, my parents thought that I had great music ability. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And if the parents don't think you have great abilities, your grandparents sure do. And they talked me into taking piano lessons. And so I started taking piano lessons in the first grade. And I kind of personally thought I was good also. Until about the first year, we had our piano recital. And a girl that had been taking lessons only 6 months, she was in the recital. She was a friend of mine. Her name was Elaine Mosley. And when I played my piece, I thought that was pretty good. And then when she got up and she played her piece, I looked at myself and I said to myself, this is not your gift. I went home and I shared with them I wanted to play basketball. And my parents said, okay, let's go for it. And they put a little ball court out by our house and I practiced. And when I was in the 5th grade and the 6th grade, our team went to the finals of the city. And I'll never forget the first time I went to the gym where I had seen the big boys play. While the other guys were out there practicing, I went over and sat at the same place I had watched them sit, and I closed my eyes. That's turning the lights out in the gym. And I called my name, and I ran out to the center court. And it just felt so good. And I thought, this is what I love. This is my dream. You see, Joseph, as you go into chapter 37, he understood that this was his dream. It wasn't given to him by his father. It wasn't given to him by his brothers. In fact, three times it says Joseph had a dream. He owned it. It was his. And I would say to you today, in going from a believer to a buyer of your dream, the first thought is don't let others talk you into your dream. The second thought is don't let others talk you out of your dream. Because that happens, doesn't it? We have a dream and we kind of share it with others, and in the beginning stages that dream is quite vulnerable. And I think we probably have had all times where we would maybe share something we wanted to do, something we kind of felt in our heart, something that was kind of important to us, to have somebody walk into our life and say, we don't think that's good. We don't think you can do that. We don't think that's possible in your life. In chapter 37, when Joseph told his father and his brothers about his dream, the Bible says his father reprimanded him. What's with all this dreaming? Am I and your mother and your brothers all supposed to bow down to you? Now, his brothers were really jealous, but his father brooded over the whole business. You see, as Joseph, a very young teenager, began to share his dream with his family, they began to try to talk him out of that dream. People sometimes who have never achieved, some people who have never realized their dream, and yet they try to talk us out of our dream and keep us from reaching and being what God really perhaps intended you or me to become. Don't let others talk you out of the dream. And thirdly, don't let others knock you out of your dream. Because in Genesis chapter 37, as Joseph came to his brothers, they spotted him off in the distance. And by the time he got there, they had cooked up a plot to kill him. And the brothers were saying, "Here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him and throw him in one of the old cisterns. We can say that a vicious animal ate him. And then we'll see what his dreams amount to." You see, to go from a believer to a buyer of your dream, you first of all, don't talk yourself out of the dream. You don't let others talk you out of the dream, but then there are times when people will try to literally knock you out of the dream, as they did Joseph. But here's the most important point this morning. Point number four, don't talk yourself out of your dream. If it's a dream that God has given you, I would encourage you to make it a part of your life. You see, the most important person that you'll listen to, the most important person that I'll listen to all day is me. And I want to make sure that I say the right things to myself. And that's true in Joseph's life. He would have been tempted at times to talk himself out of the dream, but he decided that he would pursue the dream that God had given to him. Let me share with you a story that involves Dr. Schuller. As a young pastor, Margaret and I, our first church was in southern Indiana, Hillham, Indiana. The first Sunday in our first service, there were only three people, and two of them were Margaret and me. There's an old lady who lived by the church whose name was Maud, and it was Maud, Margaret, and me. That was it. But we just absolutely fell in love with that little rural area. And of course, I had a dream to build a great church. And I didn't know how to build a great church. I grew up in a kind of a denomination that was just kind of non-progressive. In fact, their idea of progress was moving backwards slowly. And I said, if I can just get to great men, and if I can just get to great churches that have been built, and if I can ask questions, I know that they'll teach me how to build a church, because it was my dream. And so I got the list of the great churches in America and the pastors of these great churches. And I began to slowly talk to them or call them on the phone. And they didn't know who I was. I said, "My name's John Maxwell. I have a little church, but I have a dream of building a great church. And I'll give you $100 if you'll give me 30 minutes of your time." Now, I was only making about $6,000. That was a lot of money. But I was so desperate to hear people who had already achieved their dreams so that I could learn how to do it. So I would slowly, over the next few years, I would go to these towns and I would sit down and I would talk to these leaders. And they would talk to me about how they have built their church. And I would take notes. And many times afterwards, they would lay hands on me and pray over me. And I would go out into the parking lot. And sometimes I would put my notes in the seat beside me. And I would just lay my head on the steering wheel. And I'd pray and I'd cry like a baby. And I'd say, God, if you did that for them, you can do that for me. If you help them build a church, you can help me build a church. It was a great experience of my life. I met a lot of great men. Attended a lot of great churches, got a lot of great advice. People that came alongside of me to love me, to encourage me, to help me and lift up the dream that I had in my life. It was a wonderful experience. It helped me to go from being a believer of a dream to a buyer of the dream. But Dr. Schuller was one of those leaders. Dr. Schuller, I have in my hands a book that I picked up in a bookstore in 1970. It's entitled Move Ahead with Possibility Thinking.
Oh, kidding.
I picked this book up and I just devoured it. Every page. I tell you, my friends, millions of people in this world, millions, could say that this man help them to realize and receive the dream that they had. So, Dr. Schuller, just this week, my newest book, Put Your Dream to the Test, has just been released. And this is a special Hour of Power edition of Put Your Dream to the Test. And this is the first copy. In fact, I just saw it this morning when I came to church. And I asked them if I could do this, and they said that I could. I would like Dr. Schuller to give you the first copy of this special edition because you had helped me to realize my dream. And just like the dream journey of Joseph, who as he walked and was faithful to that dream, God brought things to pass that would not have happened if he wouldn't have had a dream and would not have held on to it. If he wouldn't have gone from a believer to a buyer in the dream, you've done this for me. So from my heart to your heart, and I know from the heart of this congregation and all of the television viewers around the world, we greatly love you and respect you. And here is my first copy of the book, Put Your Dream to the Test. God bless you.
John Maxwell, I'll tell you, I thought so much of this book, Put Your Dream to the Test. And where's the $100 bill? In here?
Hey, I'm surprised that he didn't ask it with interest since that was 35 years ago. May God bless you as you realize your dream. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come and stand before Jesus in that day which for you there will be no sunset, only eternal light and life forevermore. Happy Sunday. God bless.
En tot zover deze inspirerende uitzending van Hour of Power. Ik heb genoten van de toespraak van dominee Maxwell. Wat geweldig. Volgende week is een thema: laat je droom niet uit je hoofd praten. Nou, dan moet ik denken aan onze gast die er volgende week hoopt te zijn. Melissa Venema. Misschien herinnert u zich dat kleine meisje jaren geleden wat bij ons te gast was en zei: ik heb één droom. Ik kon voortreffelijk trompet spelen. En dat is bij André Rieu in zijn orkest spelen. Misschien heeft u net als ik gedacht, nou, dat is al wat voor iemand van 11 jaar om dat te denken. En geloof het of niet, zij is op het ogenblik een van de spectaculaire medewerksters van André Rieu. Die is helemaal gek van haar. Volgende week hoopt ze daarover te vertellen. Dus dromen waarmaken, zelfs als je jong bent, is dat mogelijk. Ik hoop dat je trompet meeneemt, Melissa, want we willen graag wat van je horen. Graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power. En hou contact met ons via onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Goeie zondag.